saved to know the Lord. Somebody rightly said, blessed is the man that can give without remembering and receive without forgetting. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, we've got much to be thankful about. And let me tell you, I'm not living on the bitter dregs of yesterday. I'm glad that God's in business right now.
Amen.
This is the time that He's got appointed for you and I.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, wouldn't you like to live in the Old West? I probably would have already had a fast draw against me. And you wouldn't live very long, you know. And wouldn't that be something? Here you are before you ever clear leather. Boom, 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 you got three holes in you. So no, I'm glad I'm living right now. I'm glad right now. And the reason being is because God put us in this life and put us together, and He put us here now that we ought to be living for God and serving Him. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew. And I said all that again so that you'll just know that in my heart I'm thankful with all, every fiber of my being for you and for your faithfulness to God and for all that you're doing to be able to help out. You know, I've done things for people in days gone by. They didn't say thank you, drop dead, go to hell, or nothing. I'm telling you, that's a shame. These boys and girls, buddy, they've grown up and they've learned to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you and please. Look at your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. If you're able to stand, look in verse number 24. We'll be taking up there first. Verse number 24. Bible said, another parable, and put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and it brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first of the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it, how good that it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, we do thank you that you've been good to us. And Lord, even during the times that we've been trying and the heartaches and the hardships, Lord, you've outweighed all of that. And we want to say thank you for the goodness of God that led and brought us to a repentance. Now, bless, I pray, every family represented here. Be with those that are sick and that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a few minutes on the barn or burning. When you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them a parable. They asked the question earlier in the chapter, why was it that you spoke unto them in parables? And he said, I'll tell you why. Because it's given unto you to know the word of the Lord and the kingdom of God, but to them it's not been given. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you that religion is man always trying to climb up some way to get to heaven. But Christianity is God that's reaching down to man to snatch him as a brand from the burning. In this lesson, you'll find that while that not everybody in the house of God, not everybody in church, everybody in God's house, but everybody in the church of the living God here upon the face of this earth, not everybody's going to be saved. Let me tell you right now, this morning across the country, I don't suspicion that we have anybody like that here. But there are some churches that don't suspicion it either, and they got some perverts sitting right among them. There's some churches, buddy, got some child molesters sitting in the same congregation with them. There's some people that have got adulterers and fornicators and dope heads and liars and cheaters and God deniers living right in the midst of them that are going to church and brushing shoulders with them. You know what a sad day it is? It's not only are there congregations like that. What about some of the sadness of the pulpiteers that it finally came out of the closet and that showed what a godless, wicked person they were? I want to say that when you begin, a religion always wants to identify with the Church of the Living God or with saved folks. Religion likes to latch on and be part of them. That's why over there in 2 Peter in chapter number 2 and about verse number 13, he said, there's spots in your feast days. See, what they're wanting to do is they want to mix and mingle among you. And they always know what the will of God is for your life better than you do. They can always tell you what you ought to be doing instead of they themselves trying to do what God intended for them to do. And you know what God intends a whole lot of time for you to do? Is to shut up about everybody else's business. I'll say that again in case you didn't get it. I got to say to you that if you will, is that do you know that God puts a lot of effort to let us know that we're not to be going about as a busybody in other men's matters. We ought to preach the word of the Lord without fear or favor. And let me tell you, the rest of it's going to be between you and God. And no doubt about it, you know, you can go, and I was listening to a preacher preach one time, and he was reprimanding the people over buying a candy bar. Made me want a candy bar. I was over there at a conference one time, and they was up, and man, they got to preaching against bass fishing and catfishing and having a boat and having this, and they shouldn't have called on me next. I said, hey, you guys have made me want to go fishing. I think I will as soon as this mess is over. Do you know why? Because I'll tell you why. If God reprimands your heart, then do whatever God tells you and points you the right direction. Now, we're not talking about things that are obvious and things that are godless and things that are wicked and all that. If a brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. I've heard it said over and over again. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you know, I've just learned to forgive people even if they don't repent. No, you didn't. If you then you're doing something God won't do. God said, if they repent, I'll forgive them. If they don't repent, I'll not forgive them. I can tell you this right now, make no mistake about it, religion's always wanted to identify with the saints of God. And let me tell you exactly, over there in the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 2 and about verse number 13, you'll find the Bible said there's spots and they're in your feast and they're sporting themselves with you. And you know what they're doing? It's a game to them. They're after your kids, they're after your mind, they're after your ministry, they're after your marriage. And let me tell you, they're not after the will of God and the mind of God. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. In the lesson we've read, there is a purpose sowing. There's a person that's doing a purposed sowing, and he's using good seed. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out the master here, no doubt, is in view, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's sowing good seed in his land. Now, the intention is that it might produce, that there might be a production of the seeds that are being planted, and that it might spring forth seeds and life unto righteousness. And the idea is that I've got a good crop, and I'm hoping that it'll come up. We're planting it in the good seed, and may it spring forth unto everlasting life and produce some believers. And that's the wheat that he's talking about that's in this lesson. I want to be able to produce a crop of wheat, a crop of believers. I want to produce somebody that one day in the harvest time, they can be gathered together and put in my barn. And I'm going to tell you, I hope that's you this morning. See? I don't know about you, but I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. I'm headed to the barn. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's another planter here that comes in unawares. And notice, if you will, please, is that he's planting the tares that are among the wheat. And the Bible said that while he's being unnoticed, obviously, you'll find that that's how the woke system got into the country. People had their head buried in the sand, never wanted to know what was going on. Now we've got a bunch of infidels, perverts, transvestites, and you name it. I don't want to jump on you ladies because we've got the cream of the crop right here. But you remember back whenever they were talking about the Equal Rights Movement and what was it called today of the ERA? Was that it? Equal Rights Movement. Do you realize that, oh, and women, buddy, they come out of the woodwork and they were boisterous. They'd done been beating the devil out of their husband and whipping him into shape. Now they wanted to do it everywhere. And they got to where, hey, we're as good as the army as anybody else. Then they're all in the army. And they're out there on the battlefield. But they holler every time that the going gets a little bit rough and they're ready to go shopping and there ain't no place to shop. Now, buddy, we've got them screaming and hollering because of them queer-looking boys that want to be girls are now competing against them in the athletic department. And our president, you know, he's so concerned about it. He's willing to have another baby killed, give them an abortion pill. And not only that, but buddy, we want to take away your gun so you can't say or do nothing at all about it. And as a result of that, they do what they want to do, when they want to do it, if they want to do it, where they want to do it, how they want to do it, and raise Cain and blame everybody that's against it and that's far right. They blame us for their dilemma and their devilment. But I got to tell you something. There's a burning that's going to be prepared for them. This Bible said that when you begin to look into that, you'll find out is that the master that sowed the good seed. And that's the word of the Lord, no doubt about it. But then there's a perverted planting that's here, and it's the enemy, and he's sowing the tares. Did you ever notice that the devil does all his devilment in the dark? You ever notice he tries to work in secret? You ever notice that, you know, I'm sitting among a crowd, and we know each other pretty well. I mean, I've been here now, if I live till June, 29 years. And most of you have been with me all that time or the majority of that. So we know each other pretty well. I want to tell you something. What I have noticed is that you'll find out is that the devil, every now and again, he'd try to stick his ugly head up, bring somebody in that didn't want to believe what was right. And as a result of that, they're going to try to latch on, be a friend to you, and this and that. See, they need somebody somewhere that's on their side. In this Bible lesson, and excluding present company here this morning, we don't have anybody like that now. I mean, you know, that are walking around. Most of you don't carry your baby's diapers and a bottle in a backpack, and here you are a grown man. But every now and again, it doesn't matter how good you are to them, how kind you are to them, how much you try to help them, they're just hell-bent and hell-bound, and they've made up their mind. They've been planted for one reason, and that they might be able to sow discord among the brethren, and that they might be a hindrance, and they want to come in unnoticed. Did you notice that's how the devil does that? In fact, as you're going to find out, not only are they working in secret, but you'll find that it's hard to be able to tell the difference between them and a real child of God. That's what God's talking about here. In fact, is that whenever they were unnoticed, now there's a closer inspection. And let me tell you right now, you ought not to try to be the FBI, but you ought to keep your eyes and ears open. At a closer inspection, you could find out, hey, have you ever heard this before? Me and so-and-so was pretty good friends. We had a falling out. He ran off with my wife. You know what happened there? Wasn't a close enough inspection soon enough. I've seen churches that, buddy, that all of a sudden now, and here's what's worse than that, is that there was some good-looking woman came in. I noticed right off the start how good-looking that she was. I never thought my wife would fall far, though. That's happening across the country. Do you realize and know that, buddy, that the devil has always got a tear that he'll plant somewhere or another, and hopefully that you won't notice it until it's too late? Let's get down to the real nasty now. What about with one of your children? You know, here they are wanting to try to hug up and get real close to them, and then all of a sudden they're in their ear and they're in their mind. I don't know who does what and who goes where, and personally, I don't really care because I got more than I can say grace over. But out of all the years that we've been married and with children and in the ministry, the most trouble we ever had out of our own children is when they went home with somebody to spend the afternoon or to spend the night. And I'm not against any of that. I'm just trying to tell you, that's when it'll creep in and creep out. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, I used to have some church members that these little boys, and by the way, we watch all of these boys, because as they go to getting a little bit older and those hormones begin to set in, they begin to have feelings that are beyond their control. And if you're not careful, they'll be in a side room, in a closet, or in your house somewhere, and they'll be trying to see the difference.
Yes,
sir. I've had that happen more than one time in all of the church ministry that I've been involved in. I said all that to be able to say this, is that the devil's always going to try to get a tear moved right on in there by you somewhere. I was hoping by now I'd already be in heaven. I didn't want to have to go through all this rigmarole with these grandkids after getting through all of that with my own children. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, dear friend. The work of the enemy is busy, busy against the Father's business. I want to tell you something what happens. Let's show you how he works. You remember over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 12, about verse number 43 down through 45, you can look it up and read it later and all that business there. Talk about him working in secret. There was a man that had an unclean spirit. And as it goes, and then one day, the unclean spirit departed from the man. Remember that? And it left the man empty, swept, and garnished. He looked better. He felt better. It's just a whole lot better in life without the devil, an unclean spirit in you. Well, the Bible said that they went through the dry places, so forth and on, the spirit did, and seeking rest and couldn't find any. So he comes back with seven spirits more evil than himself. Have you ever had the devil bother your mind about something and finally you got victory? And you thought, buddy, I'm glad and I'm on cloud nine. It's just like revival broke out in your heart and soul.
Yes,
until that devil shows back up with them other seven spirits.
Yeah.
Now you feel worse. Remember whenever you wasn't going to chew out your husband anymore? And this time, whenever them seven spirits come, son, it's like you're a raving mad dog. Huh? Do you remember whenever the last time it was that you and your wife, and you were saying, you know, I just need to be a lot better to my wife and all that business there. I'm sorry, honey, that I snapped at you and this and that. And then after that, seven spirits come back with that other one and you come back in there. Buddy, you're just like a wild dog, a wild rabid dog at them. See how quiet it is? Let's get back to some of that 20-year-ago preaching. I'm just trying to tell you that if you will, sometimes you know you're thinking, well, I don't know how in the world I'm acting like I do. It's the devil every time. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian per se. It does if that's what you're dependent upon. But I'm just telling you is that the devil, but he's going to come back and bring as many demons with him as he can. You know, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find the reason he does that is because the Bible said over in 1 Corinthians 15, about verse number 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. See, that's the reason why you get one of your little darling, polished kids that you have around one of these demon-possessed kids, and they're going to come home and be smart-mouthed like they've learned from them. See that? I want to say to you that if you will, what the devil wants to do is mess you up by contamination. And the way it contaminates you, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, I learned something whenever I was a young man, an old preacher, and here's what he told me. He said, let me tell you something, there's going to be some places you can't go and some things you can't do, and there's going to be some times you're going to have to go ahead and restrain yourself. And you're going to miss a whole lot of activities because if you don't, you'll just become one of the boys. And when you lose that respectability and the power that comes from on high, you'll be done. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, what the devil does, he wants to produce a counterfeit. I've met people before, you know, that everybody was just mesmerized by them, and I could tell at a glance they were counterfeits. I could tell at a glance they were imitations, and poor imitations at that. I could tell at a glance, is that, buddy, that there's a lot of chaff involved in this congregation that calls itself wheat. You got to be careful about that. I want to say to you that as I get down to the short rows or the shorter rows, here's what it is. The counterfeit work of the devil is going to try to destroy from within. That's how it's going to get you. It's not going to be people that are on the outside. It's not going to be people you're particularly going to church with. But what they're trying to do, the devil wants to work inside your heart or your home, your heart, your mind. And let me tell you what he does is that you'll find out he's in business for pain. Now, you know the reason why there's so many different perversions of the Bible that are out here. You know what the good seed? The KJV is the good seed. You know why there's so many different hundreds and hundreds of versions of Bibles, and all of them have one thing in common. They're all up against the old King James Bible. Now, you know the reason why it's that way? I'll tell you why. Is that the Bible said, is that we be not as many as them that corrupt the Word of God. And the word corrupt there comes from to make a trade of. Hey, you know why they got so many versions? That's what they're in business for money for. And if all you had was one Bible, you look at the billions and millions and billions of dollars spent on other versions. If everybody believed just the old King James Bible, where would all the marketplace be for the other versions at it? I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the Bible said, they asked, shall we go and root up the tares? No. No, you're liable to get happy hoeing and this and that, and you're liable to cut some of the wheat down. Even the Lord's looking after us in the midst of a crisis situation. And I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that you'll find, he said, let them both grow together. See, God can see the difference. Let both grow together until the end of the harvest. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out and I'm going to send out there first and gather those that are tares. I'm going to bind them in bundles for the burning. But those that are my wheat, I'm going to bind them, I'm going to take them and put them in my barn. Now I want to tell you, when that day comes, and we're going to be closing with this, it's going to be a day of revealing. I believe you're right. I believe you're here this morning. If somebody were to say, hey, you got anybody unsaved? I'll tell them, man, as far as I know, unless it's one of these just children that's not come to the age and knowledge of accountability, pretty much everybody's on the firing line. Pretty much everybody's faithful to God and the things of God. And so all that business there. But let me tell you, there's a day when there's going to be a revealing. Number two is, you'll find, it's going to be a day of removal. He's going to remove first those tares out of the way. And then he's going to remove us. He's going to take us to his barn and put us there for safekeeping. It's going to be a day of regret. And let me tell you what happens is people that don't know the Lord, if you were to read Jeremiah 23, and you don't have to turn there, in verse number 28, he talked about preachers that have a dream to tell. I can't tell you how many times is that the preacher get up and read a passage of Scripture and then go to telling his life story, and that's all I ever heard when I was a kid, a whole lot of. The Bible said, if all you got to dream, tell your dream. He that hath my word, let him preach my word faithfully. And then notice what he compares it to. What is the chaff? That's dreamers. To the wheat. That's genuine. See? I want to say and be done is that, if you will, that in the lesson that we're looking at, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm hell-proof and that I'm heaven-bound and I'm headed to the barn of God. And one of these days, he's going to receive me unto himself, that where I am there, that where I am, he says, there ye may be also. I'll be with him. If you're a child of God, you'll be with him. While we stand to our feet, and our heads are bowed, our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And Lord, I want to say thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. And dear God, certainly it's beyond our comprehension how good God has been to us. I'd ask your blessing now upon every family represented here this morning. Be with those that are sick. Be with those that could not be here. And Lord, may everything that's said and done bring glory and honor unto thee. Maybe there's somebody that's not saved. You've been pounding their heart. May they come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. May a child of God, Lord, be able to have some heaven to go to heaven in. We'll say thank you for loving us in Jesus' name.